Let's do today Torah and Tea. We're doing the portion of Eschanon, but there's a lot of things happening. It is almost Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is on Thursday. It starts actually Wednesday night. And starting actually from Wednesday afternoon, there are some restrictions already about studying and things like that. So today is sort of Tuesday is almost the last time you can study. So we have a difficult period ahead of us, which is Tisha B'Av. But following that, the Shabbos is called the Shabbos Nachamu. So while the 3 weeks keep on, as the time progresses during the 3 weeks, it gets more severe, it gets more stringent, and the mourning gets bigger. But when Shabbos comes around already, so over there, it's already Shabbos Nachamu. That's one thing. On the 15th day of Tisha B'Av, of course, means the 9th of Av. On the 15th day of Av, it is actually a great simcha. So, even though today before Tisha B'Av, but today's talks that they have set up is Shabbos Nachamu and the 15th of Av, which are both positive, because in any event, as we will see, we'll read a little bit and we'll see that the lesson is that even when things are difficult, we have to be able to find the positive in the challenges. We have to use the challenges as a springboard. A lot of times, people can't separate the present from what is going to bring, or don't see in the present what the future, this is how this is going to be beneficial down the road in the future. So let's first, we'll concentrate on actually in a piece of Talmud, okay? We'll do a piece of Talmud. And here we're later. I actually spoke about it on Shabbos. I don't suspect that anybody remembers about Shabbos, what I spoke about or listened to it. But the discussion, the Talmud tells us a story. It keeps on jumping over here. The story goes that there were rabbis. And the rabbis, I don't know why he's doing that, but, and the rabbis were traveling. I don't know. The rabbis were traveling. I don't know. It just doesn't want to do. They were traveling, and they were going on the road, and they were going towards Rome. And they heard, as they were far away from Rome, they heard the excitement and the partying and all of the tumult that was going on in Rome. And when the rabbis saw that, they began to cry. And Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva began to laugh. So they asked, why are you crying? Why are you laughing? This didn't seem like a laughing matter to them. He says, why are you laughing? So he responded to them. He says, and why are you crying? So he said to them, Rabbi Akiva says to them, why, they're asking Rabbi Akiva why you're laughing. So Rabbi Akiva says to them, why are you crying? So they said, what do you mean why we're crying? Here you have these Gentiles who bow and they make incense to idols, and they're sitting secure in peace, and we, the house of our God, is burnt. So they basically said, how could we not cry? Look what's going on. So he said to them, it's very, the letters are small here. He said to them, well, that is why I am actually laughing. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva saw, if the Gentiles who go against the will of Hashem, and yet they have so much good, and there is so much reward for them, how much more reward is there for those that do the will of Hashem? He didn't see, Rabbi Akiva didn't see in the story a negative. The fact that they were celebrating didn't bother Rabbi Akiva, because he saw in their celebration, he saw, on the contrary, he saw in this something very positive. But let's try to understand a little bit what's happening over here. Yeah, can I, what? I don't know. He needs to be a little bit explained so far that we got so far. They come and they see such destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So it seems to be obvious, if you see destruction, you cry. Why is it Rabbi Akiva asked them, why are you crying? So he started, they started crying, he started laughing. So they asked him, why you're laughing? Their question, we understand, why is he laughing? That's not a problem. He's laughing. I mean, why they're crying, that's not a question. The question is, why are you laughing? Here you see destruction, or in this case, you see how all the nations, the one that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they're secure, they're in peace, they're having a good time, and the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So it's evident that you will cry. Why is that even a question? Why are you crying? The question is, why they're crying was not why they're crying in general. The question is, why are they crying now? In other words, the destruction, the fact that the Romans were a powerful government, that's not something that took place now. That was all along. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. That he's trying to ask them, what is it that happened now, that you saw now, that is causing you to become upset that you're crying now? That's why he asked them. And basically, what they answered is him, there is one thing. If there has to be destruction, there is one thing to lose the Beis HaMikdash, but it makes it so much harder when the name of Hashem is being desecrated. When people start comparing and say, look at these people, look how they're living it up, and look how they're living a good life, peaceful, and look at the Yidden, and look at the Jewish people. They're suffering, they're dispersed, the Beis HaMikdash is burnt. So there is an extra aggravation, so to speak, there's an extra pain from the fact that this is really a desecration of the name of Hashem and the name of the Jewish people, because this is a shanda, this is a shame, this is something which hurts even more or further increases the pain more than the actual loss. You know, if you get a smack, it hurts. Okay, but if you get a smack in public, yeah, you're embarrassed. That's shameful. There's an additional pain in being shamed. So the reason they were crying was not for this smack, was not for the destruction. That was not happened now. All of a sudden, it dawned on them that this is something which is really a desecration of the Jewish people. People are saying, Hashem can't do anything, the Jewish people aren't worth anything, look what's happening to them. This magnifies, this intensifies the pain that they're suffering. So Rabbi Akiva asked them, why are you crying? And they said, we're not crying now for the power of Rome. In a way, it says in the Pasuk that Halavonoin Ba'adir Yipol. It means the people that will conquer Jerusalem, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be conquered by a mighty nation. Why a mighty nation? And the answer is, if Israel was conquered, if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by just a nobody nation, not a powerful nation, that would be degrading for the Jewish people and the Beis HaMikdash more, because look, they were beaten by whom? By somebody very insignificant. The fact that the Pasuk says that they're beaten by an Adir, by a very mighty, powerful king, that in a way eases the pain. That is sort of makes it less embarrassing. It makes it less painful. Makes a difference. If you get a smack from an older person or a little child goes over and smacks you, so that's more embarrassing. If you have an Adir beating Israel, that's not so bad. But when he came at that point and he saw how they are partying and they hear them partying from far away, and look how they're living the good life, and look how everything is good for them, look how we have been put down to the ground, we're shamed, we are all suffering, this created a whole new level of pain. They started crying because of that. Rabbi Akiva, not only did he see the positive from what's happened, from the destruction, but he also saw the positive from this extra shame that we got. Rabbi Akiva said to them, you know, that's precisely why I'm laughing. Because this sort of reinforces by me how much the reward, how much the eventual goodness that's going to be. When I see how bad it gets, that it gets even worse than bad, that it's actually shameful, I know this tells me that the good is going to be like so much more. He says because he saw in the negative, when he saw how much the destruction and the shame, he says, you know what? We're suffering so much, that means that the elevation, that the good to come is going to be even greater. He laughed because he didn't look at only at that point, he looked deeper. Generally, we know Rabbi Akiva had the saying, which is separate, he would say, everything that Hashem does is for the good. Everything that Hashem does, sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't see it, but whatever Hashem does is for the good. We have that famous story that he went on a trip and he brought along his donkey and his rooster and a candle, and he came to the city, they closed the city, and they locked the door and they wouldn't let him in, so he went to sleep in the field. Being in the field, the rooster made noise, there was a lion, ate up the donkey and they ate up the chicken, and the wind blew out the light, he was left with nothing. In that day, a bunch of bandits attacked the city, and the fact that he didn't have the light, he didn't have the rooster, he didn't have the donkey making noise, the robbers didn't see that they were there, and their life was spared. So he says, well, look, whatever Hashem does is for the good. But in that case, there was a loss over there. He lost his donkey, he lost it. It was for a better good. But this is even a deeper thing. Rabbi Akiva saw in the destruction actually better. There is a third case, even more. And that was the case when they were going up to Jerusalem. And they came to Mount Scopus and they saw the Beis HaMikdash, they all rendered the garment. Now again, everybody rendered the garment, including Rabbi Akiva. That's the halacha today. When you come and you see the Kotel, you see the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to render your garments. So, they all did it, including Rabbi Akiva. But then they saw a fox coming out of the place of the Kodesh Kodoshim, of the holiest of holiest. So again, they started crying. And Rabbi Akiva started laughing. So again, they asked Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? This is not a fox coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holiest. The Torah says even a stranger cannot enter. How could we not cry? So what was the question of Rabbi Akiva? The same question. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We know that. And they all rendered the garment. We knew that. What is it that they saw when the fox went out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim that made them cry? So the Rebbe explains, he was asking them, why are you crying now? And they said to him, look how deep and how far this destruction goes. It's not just the Beis HaMikdash destroyed. You have foxes running around over there. And not only do you have foxes running around, you have foxes running around from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, from the Holy of Holiest. So that means it's not just a little bit of a destruction. This is, on top of the destruction, there is more destruction. There is a destruction to the extent that you have foxen running around. There's a desecration of Hashem's name. It's a terrible churban. It's a terrible destruction. This is something which is even more painful. We're crying. We're not just crying for the destruction. We're crying for the enormity, from the shame of the destruction, from the severity of the destruction. Look, a fox, would it not be enough for a fox to go out of the holiest? It has to go of the holy of the holiest? Why so bad? Why is it so severe? We're crying because of that. And Rabbi Akiva said, that's why I'm laughing. Because Rabbi Akiva said, basically, I see in this severity, I see the greatest of redemption here. if I had not seen myself the great severity of the punishment, then I'm not sure how deep and how strong and how positive the redemption is going to be. But when I see how bad the punishment is, then I say to myself, that reward, the rebuild is going to be so strong that it's going to match the severity or greater than the severity of the loss of the destruction. He told him like this. It's a little bit difficult to understand. There were two prophets. There was the prophet Uriah the prophet. He was during the first Beis Hamikdash, and he was prophesizing that the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed during Beis Hamikdash. And Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, he was in the time of the second Beis, before the second Beis Hamikdash. Uriah was saying how bad the punishment will be. He said, and he quotes the verse, he says that Zion will be plowed like a field. It'll be plowed, taken up, plowed as a field. In Zechariah, when he gives the prophecy, he says, oh, there will still be old men, old women sitting in the streets of Jerusalem and partying. So Uriah gave very severe punishment, and Zechariah gave very good punishment. And Rabbi Akiva said, look, until I saw the fulfillment of the prophecy of Uriah, I thought maybe Zechariah's prophecy isn't going to come true. Maybe all the consoling and the comforting that we got, maybe it's not going to come true. Rabbi Akiva said that. What does that mean? How could it be it's not going to come true? He didn't believe the words of the prophet. He said, I didn't know to what extent when he gave us all these nice, kind words, I didn't know how strong and how powerful is it really going to be. Sometimes you can get a reward limited, and sometimes you can get the reward unlimited. You can get it on a much higher level. He said, I wasn't sure at what level that level of comfort, the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, when the elders, the Zekanim and the Zekanis, the elder will sit in the streets of Jerusalem. I wasn't sure how strong that's going to be. But he says, when I see how the prophecy of Uriah, who says about the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, I see how severe it is. That tells me how strong the redemption is going to be. So when he looked, when he saw a fox going out of the Holy of Holiness, it tells him, you know, look how this punishment, look how this is reaching. It's going into the worst possible scenarios. That means that the comfort, it's not like he didn't believe maybe it's not going to become true. Of course it's going to become true. But maybe it's not going to be in the fullest sense. That gave him now the fullest comfort that it's going to come fully through. That's why he gave him the example. He says, in the punishment which Uriah said, he says, Zion will be plowed like a field. When you plow a field, the more you plow it, the better the produce will be. So while you're breaking it up more, so that means he saw in the destruction, he saw like the plowing which helps you grow later on. He saw in all the tzoris that we have, especially Rabbi Akiva, he saw in everything that happened. And they finally told him, you know what? Akiva, you comforted us. Akiva, you comforted us. They accepted Rabbi Akiva's comfort because they also went along and they agreed and they understood that what Rabbi Akiva said, that it is true. So, putting it back to us, to Tisha B'Av and our lives, we know that certainly we've had a severe exile. We have experienced the most severest of exiles. The previous generation experienced a Holocaust. And we had plenty of tzoras, not just plain tzoras. We have beyond old tzoras. Sometimes it's hard to see any positive of that. But Rabbi Akiva saw that you have to see, we have to find the comfort that we have to find in the most difficult, in the most severest cases, we need to find the positive. We need to find and see that if things are so bad, if things are, it's going to be tremendous, tremendous, the blessings that's going to follow. Let's do quickly a little bit of the other sikha, and that talks about basically the 15th day of Av. That follows Tisha B'Av. We have the 15th of Av. And the Gemara says that that was the day, it was one of the biggest holidays. Actually, the Gemara says there were two holidays that were the biggest of holidays. And that was Yom Kippur and the 15th of Av. What's so special about the 15th of Av? And there's various different reasons in the Gemara what the Talmud says about it. Why the 15th of Av was made into a holiday. Now, all those reasonings that the Gemara gives, it's too much to go through all the reasonings, but in all the reasonings that the Gemara goes through, they're all obviously beneficial, and they are understood why they are so good days. But there's the last reason over there, which a little bit is hard to understand what is such a big deal about it. The Gemara says that on the 15th of Av, the Gemara says they no longer cut wood for the arrangement of the Mizbeach. The wood on the Mizbeach needed to be without worms. It needed to be, the moisture brings worms with it. The heat of the summer dries up the wood, and they are fit for use on the Mizbeach. But the 15th day of Av, then there was no more wood cut for the Mizbeach, because already it's no longer, it's getting, I guess that's when it becomes to, the sun loses some of its power and it's no longer as hot, and we don't cut any more wood for the Marocha. So what would they do? So it says that they actually broke that axe to what they would. It's different commentary. I'm saying one commentary with Rashbam says they would cut the, they would break the that axe, and they didn't use it. So the Rebbe explains, what is this such a big deal that they stopped cutting the wood? What is the, what is this such a, what is this such a big, why did they make such a big deal of it? And the Rebbe explains, talks about the fact that the wood, they used to cut it a whole year and they stopped it, and that's the conclusion of that, of this mitzvah. The wood basically allowed for people to do the korbanos. The Rebbe says that the 15th of Av is coming to counter the effects of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av was the time that we deal with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and now we want to deal with the building up of the Beis HaMikdash from the 15th to counter it. So there was the one of the things was the actual destruction, and the other thing is the reason for the destruction was because of sinas chinam, because of hatred, senseless hatred. So the wood basically allows for us to continue doing the Beis HaMikdash, the work that they did, celebrated. But it also is the fact that when you contribute wood and cut the wood and you contribute the wood, that's really charity. And charity is something which you help everybody. If you bring wood and you cut the wood and you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, then everybody can bring their korbanos. So when actually you're actually helping everybody to bring their korbanos, and so you're helping to build the Beis HaMikdash, and you're also helping to bring about unity amongst the people. So that's why this was something, a special day, and one of the reasons why we celebrate Chamisha Asar B'Av, because this counters the both. It helps. Up till then, you know, every day we would do it. Now we have to stop and we have to wait till the next time you'll be able to do it. So therefore, this was a celebration, just like when you finish, a tractate, you know, which is, by the way, the Rebbe's asked that we finish during the 9 days, that we finish a tractate of make a celebration in a way that is permitted, you know, the 9 days, the week of Tisha B'Av. It so happens that my shir after this class is the Talmud shir. It happens that today we're actually completing the entire tractate. We've been learning for a long time tractate Megillah, and today we're finishing it, Bezrat Hashem. So we'll make a siyum for the 9 days. Okay, so, but let's hope that we make a siyum that just like Rabbi Akiva saw the comfort coming, and just like the cutting of the trees to help for the wood so everybody can bring a korban, that we should merit very soon to actually finish this galus, make a siyum of the exile. These days will be turned into holidays, the Yom Tovim. We're not going to have to mourn or fast, but we're actually going to be days of celebration, and could even happen this year, hopefully, so that we won't have to be mourning this Tisha B'Av, and we'll be in the presence of Mashiach and Behar V'Yomeinu.